Today we're continuing our series of Meet Jesus. This is the last of the I am statements. We're going to be talking about Jesus saying, I am the true vine. So that's found in John chapter 15. If you want to get your Bibles out and get ready for that as you are doing that, why don't we bow our heads and say a prayer to God. Father God, we thank you for just another great day that we can give you praise. We thank you for the reminder that we should keep all of our eyes on you, God. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your family, for allowing us to be connected to you, God. I pray that you would open up our hearts, our minds, for what you would have for us today. God, I just pray that you would speak through me, God, to your people, and we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We have a youth in youth group. His name is Patrick Coffey. Many of you guys know him. And Patrick has a habit of every time, usually when we're on a retreat, we're about to go to bed, so it's a retreat, so it's like midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning here. And Patrick always jumps up and says, it's story time with Patrick. He then goes on for another 45 minutes, an hour, telling tons of story about his life. So today is actually going to be story time with Derek, and I'm going to share some funny stories, some embarrassing stories, and some serious stories as well. And my goal is to hopefully inspire you guys, especially if you're going through a difficult time now, to realize that you serve a God who is always connected to you, who loves you, and is always watching out for you. So my first story involves Easton. You just saw some great pictures from our trip there. And a lot of people don't realize how crazy it is getting ready for a mission trip. There's a lot of things to keep in mind, a lot of things to organize, and a lot of youth to keep track of. We're getting ready for Easton. Everything was going well. And it dawned on me that, oh yeah, we no longer have church vans, and I forgot to reserve a van. So that was going to be a big problem. So Lisa helped us. We found a van. Getting the vans turned out to be a whole nother ordeal, but we finally got them. It was the day of Easton. We're packing up, getting ready to go, and we hop in the vans to drive down. Now, two years ago when we went to Easton, driving there, we actually got a flat tire while we were driving the kids there. So I was really worried as we were going down, just praying, God, keep us safe. We got to Easton, no problem. So check mark, that's going well. If you've ever been to Easton, Easton's really crazy to park in. There's a bunch of one-way streets. You could only park here on one side of the road from 9 to this time, this side of the road from the other time. It's crazy. We went right in. We got a parking spot. Check number two. Things are going well. We actually arrived early. This is unheard of for our youth group and me because I had the wrong time. Someone told me the wrong time. So we got there like an hour early. So check number three. We're doing good. We took the kids to Wawa, had a great time, and came back. As we're walking back, the other churches are arriving. And, you know, it's a good day. And I'm just thinking, hey, this might actually work out well. It's going to be a pretty easy trip. I should not have said that. Of course, as we get there, I'm playing around with some of the youth, and I blame Dylan Houck for this, because I'm playing wrestling with him, and I go down to pick him up, and as soon as I go down, it happens. Rip. No lie. I was going to actually bring in my shorts, and I apologize, I forgot them at home. If you're good, I will bring them back in sometime for show and tell here. But as I'm going down, I suddenly feel a little breeze on my backside. And this rip wasn't just right in the center. It was down my leg. It's the strangest rip I've ever seen. It looked like a lady from like a Hollywood, you know, red carpet who forgets half her dress at home. You know what I'm talking about? And so now I'm like, just pause. Like, what do I do? So the kids are now, our youth now know about, so they're giggling and laughing at me, and that's all fine and dandy. Tell one of the guys there who I know, walk behind me. Don't ask any questions, just walk behind me. Go in and change. The ironic thing is I'm known for overpacking, all right? So I was trying really hard not to do that this trip. And just that morning, I had an extra pair of shorts that I decided not to bring. What would happen? So I'm going there, I'm getting changed, and as I'm thinking about it, you know, I just start smiling and laughing. And I was thinking, God, thank you for this reminder. You see, earlier everything was going so well that I did the thing mentally that we all do, don't we? God, life is going well. Thank you so much. I'll check in on you later. Don't we all do that? And we go on Christian autopilot. And this one experience just brought a smile to my face because I realized, God, I now realize I'm going to need you every single day of this trip for all the big stuff and the small stuff. Thank you for being there. I had another pair of shorts, was able to change, had a good laugh about it. It wasn't a big deal. But again, it was a great reminder for me to pause and say, how often do I live my life on Christian autopilot? And I forget to reconnect with God and realize every single day I need God. That is what Jesus is talking about in this verse. He's saying that we need God every single day. Doesn't matter if you're going through a hard time or a good time. If we're not connected to God, we're not living the way we're supposed to. Let's take a look at this passage together. It's John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. Follow along as I read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus gives a lot of great material here in his last I am statement. He says, I am the vine. Now, this would be a statement that the Israelites would have known very regularly. You see, back in the Old Testament, Israel was compared to a grapevine, a vine that God had uprooted and planted again in the Promised Land. And they were supposed to grow and be a blessing to all nations. But Israel had forgotten God. They had continually went astray. And so the vine of God had gone unruly. But God had already planned to have another vine be planted, and that vine was Jesus. And Jesus gives this ongoing metaphor that he is the true vine. Doesn't matter what other people say, doesn't matter what other followers might do. Jesus is the true vine. The branches are the people, and God the Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener, as we would probably say today. Now, I'm going to pause for 1 second. This might make sense to anyone who's a gardener, but for a long time, whenever I heard this passage, I always thought, we're the branches, Jesus is the vine. Aren't vines smaller than branches? Wouldn't it have made sense if that was crisscross? Why'd you do that? Well, I did a little research. Up there's a diagram of a grapevine. The whole thing is called a vine. You see, grapes are grown on plants called vines. That's where we get vineyards. That makes sense. And there's no real such thing as a grape tree. Actually, let me pause. In Brazil, there's this thing that grows fruit that looks like grapes, and they sort of call it a grape tree. It's not really there. The grapes we're talking about are plants, and they grow on vines. The whole structure is called a vine. Derek, why are you taking time to do this? Jesus says, I am the whole structure. I am the vine. I am the cause of life. The Bible says we live and breathe and have our being in God. Jesus says, there's no such thing as life apart from me. I not only created life, I sustain life. And the Bible says when we sin, when Adam and Eve first sinned, we were ripped apart. But God has grafted us back to that vine because of all that Jesus has done in his sacrifice. That is why today, if you're going to truly live, you have to be connected to the source of life. And your purpose is to bear fruit. For all those who refuse to be connected to God, you instantly start to wither because that's not how we were made. Again, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We are the people who are connected to him. We are a part of him. A lot of times, things in life don't go well, and it's because we have distanced ourselves from God. We've disconnected from the source of life. But if you have this idea that Jesus is the vine, being connected to him provides so many great possibilities. It provides protection, provides purpose, and provides pleasure. For the rest of my time today, I just want to concentrate on those three things. First thing is protection. Before I get to that, another funny story. I am starting to get back in the gym, trying my best to work out. People have taken me to the gym before. I really appreciate it. John Ludi was in the first service. He's taken me to the gym. Corey Black has now taken it upon himself to work me out. So this is what I look like before I go to the gym. Everything is great. In the back of my head is the soundtrack. Everything is awesome. I don't understand why people complain about going to the gym. Michael Phelps, why do all the Olympians complain about working out? Does he even lift? Come on, this is going to be easy, right? In my mind, one, maybe two sessions, I want to be realistic, I'm going to look buff, right? That's what it looks like. That's what you look like right when you're about to go to the gym. Well, in the midway of my workout, I usually look like this. During this time, I'm thinking, why did I do this to myself? I can't wait to leave so I can grab a cheeseburger. And if I were to die right now, who's going to take care of my dog? That's what's going on in the middle of my workout. And I usually end my workout looking like this. My thoughts at this time is, oh my goodness, am I supposed to breathe like this? Can someone stop my heart from racing? And for the love of God, can someone please call 911 for me? I'm too tired to do it myself. The fun thing, though, about this as I was reflecting on it is I don't like going to the gym by myself. I like to talk to people. I like to be social. And I, to be honest, I'm going to let you in on a secret, don't really know what I'm doing. That's why I like going with people like Corey, who can watch out for me. Who can say, Derek, this is the exercise you need to do. Derek, lift this much. No, you're trying too hard. Derek, just try the bar right now. Just use the bar. This is literally what happens. Corey's there to guide me, to watch me, to protect me, to make sure I don't hurt myself. If I need a spotter, Corey's right there to lift the weight with me if I start struggling. If I take on too much weight, Corey's like, let me take some off for you, bud. We'll work this out together. You see, that same protection that Corey gives to me is the same protection God gives to us. And a good gardener gives to his vineyard. You see, I think we forget that a gardener is fiercely protective of his vine. John 15, 2 and 6 say this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. 6 goes on to say, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Anyone who's a gardener or any Israelite would have known what that meant. Because gardeners are very protective of their vine. And God the Father is very protective of his people, his son, and his holy name. Let's break that down a little bit. Unfruitful branches literally waste energy and nutrients. They waste sap. That's why if a branch is not bearing fruit, the gardener cuts it off. There's no point in keeping it. It's actually going to harm the rest of the vine. Same thing is with us and God. God knows that people fall into many different distractions and do many different things that aren't good. So every day, God is trying to strip away the things in our lives that aren't bringing life. It might be bad relationships. It might be bad thoughts. It might be teachings that we hear that are incorrect. Every day, God is trying to strip that away so that we can follow him more closely. Second thing a gardener does is that they take branches, and once a branch isn't connected anymore to the vine, it starts to wither. It no longer has life going through it. Again, the same thing is for us as people. There's many people, even non-believers, who do very good things in this world. But the question is, are they doing things that have an eternal difference? The only way we as believers and non-believers can do something that has an internal impact is by doing it for God and through God. If we're disconnected from God, again, all of our good actions start to wither as well. Last thing, anyone who's a gardener knows that branches from a grapevine are soft. They're not good for anything. So gardeners would gather them and they would burn them. This is a serious thing when we think about how it relates to us as people. You see, we serve a God who's full of love, who's full of mercy. The Bible says he doesn't want anyone to perish. But we also serve a God who is full of justice. And he says everyone has to give an account for the fruit that they bear in life, where they were doing what they were supposed to do, or were they just living life for themselves. So it's a great reminder for us to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to, and to remind others to do that as well. There's so many different verses in the Bible that highlight that. 2 Corinthians says this, We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, recapture their rebellious thoughts, and teach them to obey Christ. In our society, we have this mantra, do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever makes you feel good isn't always best for you, and it's definitely not always best for your family. That's one of the things that God is trying to strip away. Do what you know is right, even when it's hard, because at the end, it will pay off. When we're talking about relationships, Psalm 1 says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And catch this, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. A lot of our students are about to head back to school or to college. Who are your friends? Who do you hang out with? Are they good influences, or are they people that lead you astray? Are you a good influence? Who are your coworkers? Do you sit and gossip about the boss? Or do you do a good job? Again, there are many people that can lead us astray. Are you staying connected to those that actually challenge you, encourage you to do what is right, even when it's not easy? And lastly, Hebrews says this, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. You see, we have this natural bent as people to do things of our own, to drift away from that vine, to disconnect from Jesus. Every day, God is trying to bring us back. Do you remember when he's doing that? Do you encourage others to do that as well? You see, like a loving gardener, a loving God protects his people from false teachings, wrong relationships, wrong passions, and wrong pursuits. My question for you today is, what has God been trying to help you break free from? And what is he trying to get you to encourage others to do likewise? Second thing that being connected to Jesus provides is purpose. Purpose. Recently, we had a youth retreat for all of our older kids. We had a great time with them, had fun, did a little midnight bowling. Remind me never to do that again. I'm so tired. But one of the great purposes of the retreat was to actually talk about upcoming transitions and how some of our older youth can take more of a leadership role. We had a great time, and what came up over and over again was a couple themes. One, our youth are very appreciative of all that the church has done for them in our community, so they want to make sure they're giving back to help the younger generations here in church and to make sure that they are a vibrant part of this ministry here. Second thing is they want to make sure that youth who come are invited, that they feel welcome, that they can keep growing the youth group. And so that's really cool for me to hear them say. And the last thing, they want to make sure that kids stick around, that they stay connected to Christ. A lot of youth grow up and then they start leaving the church. And that's a concern even for our own teenagers. So they want to make sure they're doing all that they can to make sure those youth stay around. Again, I love that because they are doing what they were created to do. They are living life on purpose. They are bearing good fruit. John 15, the second part of verse 2 says this, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And 7:8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I want to highlight two things real fast. First is bearing fruit. Again, that is our purpose as being connected to the vine. Practically, what does that mean? It means sharing God's love and message with others. It means telling people what God has done in our life and not being ashamed to share that with others. It means staying connected so we can grow in Christ-like character. Again, this world drifts away from God all the time. If we want to be more like Christ, we need to stay connected to Christ. We need to spend time with him. We need to get around people who are encouraging us to do that. That's not just for youth, that's for us as adults as well. And we need to glorify God in all that we do and how we serve others. When we're doing this, we're bearing good fruit. And life gets a little bit better because we're living on purpose. But the second thing that that passage highlights is this, that we also get pruned, and no one likes that process, but it's necessary. You see, a good gardener actually prunes the vine. He trims it down, because if it doesn't, it will grow crazy. And again, it will lose nutrients and will soon wither and die. The Father prunes us so we can produce more fruit. He trims out our wrong thoughts and our behavior. And sometimes God even allows difficult times so we can grow even more. This past week was a crazy week. Monday was a great day. Someone was asking me how my week was going, so I was reflecting on this. Monday was a great day, but Wednesday morning, for some reason, I felt really off. And I felt kind of sad, and I was just thinking and praying about that. And over again, God reminded me to read the story of Joseph. So finally, I sat down, I looked through it. If you haven't read the story of Joseph, please do. If you guys don't remember, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, and he made sure everybody knew it. And so partly because of Jacob showing favoritism, partly because of Joseph either being naive or gloating, his brothers grew to hate him. And so his brothers hate him so much that they decided to kill him. One brother stood up and was like, no, let's not do that. That'd be bad. And so they end up selling him into slavery. And here's where God's great stuff happens. You see, even after Joseph was sold into slavery, the Bible says specifically that the Lord was with Joseph, and he succeeded in everything he did. The story goes on to say that God blessed others because of Joseph. When he was living in the house of Potiphar, the Bible says that God blessed Potiphar's house because Joseph was there. And these last two points, I want you to really key in. Joseph was accused of rape. He did not do it, but he was sent to prison. And as you're reading the stories, again, we read chapter 39, chapter 40, chapter 41, oh, everything's fine. No, years have passed as this is going on. 7 years here, 2 years here. This is what Joseph is going through. Joseph is thrown into prison for a crime that he did not commit. He was actually trying to honor God during that time. And a lot of times, whenever we enter prison, whatever your prison might be, maybe it's a health concern or financial concern or relationship breakup, whatever it might be, a lot of times we start asking those questions. God, why don't you love me? God, if you love me, I wouldn't have been in this prison. God, if you love me, you would rescue me out of this. Where are you, God? Genesis 39 says something very clear. It said, while Joseph was in prison, God was right there with him. And in prison, God showed him his faithful love. You see, when we're going through a difficult time, God is often right there with us. And right there, in that moment, he is showing you his faithful love. A lot of times, we don't know why we have to remain in that prison. And again, that prison can be a metaphor for whatever you're going through. But there's always a reason. There's always a purpose. And that's what Joseph found out later on. I love Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph has now been promoted to the second highest ruler in Egypt. And because of his position, he's actually able to save all the Egyptians, all of his family, and all the surrounding area from a famine. And when he's face to face with his brothers, or his family, at first he's upset, but then he realizes the whole path that he was on. He realizes the pruning that had happened in his life. And he says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended that for good. Not just to bless me, but so I could bless others as well. We serve a faithful God and a faithful gardener who sometimes allows us to go through difficult stuff, and we don't understand it while we're there. But while we're in that prison, the Bible says God is right there with us. And in that struggle that we're going through, he is always showing his faithful love. And there's always a purpose, always a reason if you stay connected to him. For Joseph, it was so he could save many people's lives. I wonder what it might be for you. As you look at that picture, there are two things that stick out to me. What are the two things that stick out to you in that picture? There's a lightning, there's a storm, and there's what? And a cross. Whatever you focus on is going to dictate how joyful you are in life. You see, oftentimes when we hit a hard time, we focus on the storm in the background, and that's all we can think of. But if you keep your eye on the cross, you realize that God is already taking care of you, and he will continue to do so. There's a song that I had John play earlier before the service. It's called Just Be Held by Casts and Crowns, and it says that exactly in the second verse. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have, and I always will. and not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. Again, we all go through storms in life. What you concentrate and what you focus on is going to dictate how we go through them. If your eyes are always on the storm, you're always going to be sad, depressed, miserable. But if your eyes realize, hey, there's a cross in that picture too, and that's a symbol that God loves me so much, and he already has a plan for me, so I'm going to keep going. Remember, pruning from God is not punishment. It's preparation to continue to fill your purpose. Pruning from God is not a punishment. Again, a good gardener has to prune so that the crop might grow even more. And the same thing is us in our life. When God's taken away and stripping things away from us, again, it's not a punishment. It's actually because he loves us and he's preparing us for something greater. The last thing I want to focus on is this. Being connected to Jesus provides pleasure. Provides pleasure. There's a picture. A bunch of rowdy folks there. The youth group wanted to go to Shady Maple before one of our youth, Savannah, went off to the Marines. So we were trying to figure out dates. And we were going to figure out 1 week before she left. And it happened to be the week that my birthday fell on. So I was like, I've actually never been to Shady before my birthday. Can we go then? And so what turned out for a couple people going kind of grew into 17 people going to Shady Maple. So we had a great birthday celebration for me. I appreciate it. They made me think about that every single minute. Did some embarrassing things. We won't go into that today. But one of the cool things was just being able to spend time with them. And it was a great birthday present, and I really enjoyed my time. And it reminded me of a theme that God has been teaching me over and over again. It's about enjoying life and enjoying right where he has you. You see, that's what Jesus talks about in the last part of this passage. Verses 9 to 11 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Over and over again, I hear some words in that passage. Abide, keep, love, and joy. All these things are offered to us as long as we're staying connected to God. If you don't know what the word abide means, don't worry, I Googled it for you. It means to wait for, to endure without yielding, to bear patiently, to remain stable or fixed in a state, to continue in a place, to remain, stay, or live somewhere, to dwell or linger. How many of you does that characterize your Christian walk? Do you abide in Jesus? Do you stay connected to him? Do you enjoy just dwelling in his presence? Or are you off to the next thing? Do you go on Christian autopilot and forget God while you're doing something else? Again, one of the great promises we have is to enjoy time with God. And that's what God's been reminding me of, again, this week. God took me to this psalm. It's actually probably my favorite psalm in the Bible. Here's just a passage. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. A lot of times we quote about God will give us our heart's desires. But again, there's a condition that goes with that. If we're taking delight in the Lord, that's when he follows up. Again, if you don't know what delight means, that's okay. I Googled it for you as well. It means to take great pleasure in, to give joy or satisfaction to. Do you take great pleasure in spending time with God? Are you satisfied with just him? Or are you always looking for the next thing? Again, up there is a picture of some of the kids, some of the youth in Easton, and we were just praying for each other before we left. And I had told you guys a story, but when we first got to Easton, I told them to pick one word that they wanted to focus on, one thing that they wanted God to reveal to them that week. My word was joy, because again, being a youth leader, there's always a lot of things to think about, so sometimes I'm more concentrating on the details and then just joy. And God, actually through that process, changed my word to enjoy. How dare God do that? But what God was teaching me is that I just want you to enjoy the people you're with, your youth, the kids you're ministering to, where you are in life. There's another passage later on in the psalm. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. This passage was also Zephaniah. We don't quote from Zephaniah a lot. But for my birthday week, people were sending me Facebook messages and cards. That was awesome. And the other cool thing, Harold and Emmy Zern sent me a card and had this passage of Zephaniah on it. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I'm not sure if you saw what happened there. Previous slide was talking about us delighting in God. This is now talking about that God delights in us. Isn't that pretty cool? The creator of the world enjoys spending time with you. He enjoys just hanging out with you. He enjoys showing you things about this world that you don't know. He enjoys you growing up and following him. One of the greatest benefits we have for being connected to the vine is that we have this relationship with God. And we're meant to enjoy life. Life is not always easy. But again, if we keep our eyes on the cross and all that God's done for us, it doesn't matter the storm that's around us. Up there, there's some pictures of our youth with some kids at Easton. And I think our kids like going on mission trips often because they realize they get more out of it than probably what they feel they put in. And they get to enjoy spending time with a great group of kids, many of them who come from broken homes, any of them who just love to have a hug. We serve a God who loves to give us hugs and loves to spend time with us as well. As we end today, I just want to remind you that Jesus is the vine. We live, we move, we have our being in him. He is life itself. And he says that we are supposed to be connected to him because God the Father is fiercely protective of his people, of his name, of his son. For those who have decided to disassociate themselves from God or those who decide not to bear fruit, fortunately, he has to cut them off. But the great promise is if you stay connected to God, he's always watching over you. And he'll fill your life with protection, with purpose, and with pleasure. My last question for you is, when is the last time you remembered that you were able to abide in Christ? To just linger, to just enjoy him. That is what God desires of you, to always be connected, never forget. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a series about meeting Jesus in the I Am statements, God. And we thank you for this last I Am statement, that Jesus, you are the vine and we are your branches. We are all already connected to you. Father God, I pray that we would be the type of branches that bear great fruit, that listen to your protection as you're trying to strip things away and prune things out of our lives, God, that we wouldn't resist you, God. We would realize that it's for our own good. We also pray that we would be the type of branches who would tell other people about you, God, because so many people are looking for something in life and they don't realize that the reason they have this emptiness is because they've disconnected themselves from you. Father God, I just pray that you would help us every single day to realize your protection, to realize your purpose, your plan that you have for us, and also, God, to revel in your pleasure, God, that we might just enjoy spending time with you and spend time enjoying just hanging out with other people as well. We thank you for all this. Give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.